so excited today because I have a God who's a very present help. He's not afar off. He's not on vacation. But he's a very present help. And if our nation and our world ever needs God, it's now. I ask myself, what will it take for people to come back to God? What else can happen besides a world pandemic and an innocent man being killed and riots? What is it going to take for America to realize our answer is up? Our answer is in God. When the children of Israel were in Egypt 400 years, they cried out. And the Bible says that God heard their cries, and he sent Moses. God's a very present help in time of trouble, and I want to talk about that. I'm going to get to Psalm 46 in a moment, but I want you to look at Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. I want to talk about a man who was in a situation where his people were being not only killed, they were being robbed, they were starving from the Midianites who were taking all of their crops. But I want to show you how God intervened, and I want to make a parallel to our world and our nation with this. Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Ebusite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all these things happened to us? And where are all his miracles that our fathers told us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have not I sent you?" Lord, bless your word this morning. I want you to notice a few things here about this text here. I want you to notice, first of all, the conclusion that Gideon told the angel of the Lord. His conclusion was, "The Lord has forsaken us." You know, I guarantee you, across the world in our land, people are wondering, has God forsaken us? Has God said, "You know, America, I'm done with your sin. I'm done with your murders, your abortions. I'm done with your colleges teaching atheists." I mean, people are saying, "Why is this happening?" You know, that really doesn't bother God, that type of question. But what does bother him is when we come to conclusions that are contrary to his promises and character. Now, the Lord has not forsaken us. You know, the two questions here, and we all have to ask ourselves, are why and where. He says, "Why then has all this happened to us?" Let's just be honest. We cannot totally understand everything that happens in the world. Only God can understand that. So our focus shouldn't be on why, it should be on who. Who can fix this? Then he says, "Where are all his miracles that our fathers told us?" So first of all, Gideon comes up with a conclusion it's not true. But then he says, there's might in what you said, Gideon. Gideon's might. Go in this might. What is the might that Gideon had that we need to have? The might is his words. He said this, "Where's all the miracles that we were told about how he delivered us out of Egypt. It wasn't an accusation, it was a proclamation. What was Gideon saying? He was saying this: God, you delivered people out of Egypt. You set them free. You brought them to a promised land. Oh God, you're the God I need. Oh, where are you, God? Where's the power? Where's the thing that you demonstrated to set people free? Oh, where are you, God? I'm not accusing you, God, of not being here. I want to know why your power hasn't manifested. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for that move of God. I'm looking for that deliverance power. So the angel said, that's your might, Gideon. Your might is you've never lost confidence in who I am. And even though you see things on the right and the left and injustice and murder, and even though you see an enemy that should not be prosecuted or not be coming against my people, you held on to the God of your fathers. Come on, give them a hand, somebody. You see, this persuasion cometh not of him that called you. Behind every evil is the evil one. Behind every germ is the evil one. Behind every innocent person being killed is the evil one. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The devil has the ability to go into people and use them for his tactics. He's a murderer from the beginning. And he uses people who have not surrendered to God and have a heart that's hardened. But don't forget, this is not a flesh and blood thing. It's first of all a spiritual problem. And men give themselves to hatred and racism and prejudice. They give themselves, it opens the door for the devil to use them against other humanity. But even though it's a spiritual root, there's a spiritual answer. And the answer is the faith of God's people coming together and believing God to stretch his hands again to our nation. Give God a praise if you believe that. Why has this happened? Where is his miracles? Gideon said, I want the God of my fathers. This thing is too big for us. This pandemic is too big for us. Hatred and murder, it's too big for us, folks. We need God. We need God. We need God. Listen, God doesn't need me. I need God. I need God. Our nation needs God. Not in some form of godliness or some religiosity. But I need the God. The God that blessed America years ago. The God that intervened on Azusa Street and sent a new fresh flowing of Pentecost to our nation. And 10 churches were started out of that. I need God. And I tell you, during these months, I think it all shows us how much of God we thought we needed, but now we understand we really need God. That my personality and charm, my clothes, my career, my money ain't going to change a thing. What's going to change something is faith. By faith, they've pursued righteousness, obtained kingdom. And when you press through fear, when you press through doubt, I want to tell you, you've got the might of Gideon. And God will use you to change a nation. Give him praise, somebody. You're a Gideon. Turn to somebody and say, you're a Gideon. Now, what's God's solution? God's solution is the same in every generation. Excuse me. God's solution is himself. God's solution is who he is. Sometimes we'd be like, oh God, could you just throw us a few crackers? We're so hopeless and helpless. God says, well, I've been working all these years to get you to a place that you're utterly dependent upon me. God never moves where we still have our hands in his work rather than our heart united with his. God never works if I can still work this out. How many of you have got some things in your family? Honey, you can't work it out. No, you can't work it out. All the leaven and all that stuff ain't done nothing. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do that. But we need God. I need God to come down to a generation and say, you know what? You think us older folks are there just hanging on in church singing choir songs? I want to tell you about the God that saved me from hell. I want to talk about the God when I OD'd, and when I was going to hell, when I felt demons pulling me into an abyss, and I called out to God, and He came. Don't tell me it's about a little bit of churchianity. God wants to show His power to this nation and to this world again. Give Him a shout if you believe it. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. What? I don't know about you, but if I saw the earthquake moving the earth and mountains leaving, I guarantee you, you'd be tempted to fear. Apparently, David had a revelation of God that few believers really have, because God proved him in the wilderness. Though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling, and this is the answer. In church, this is the only answer. Because this answer is really about our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you how this works in the church world. How we can go through this thing we've been through and come out with a different atmosphere in the house of God. How that we can go on from what was a setback to a comeback. God always takes a setback and makes a comeback. And God wants to use you to be part of the team that we're coming back. This is God's answer, Rock Church of Petersburg, America, and the world. There is a river. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Do you remember the song? I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I ain't moving from my personal walk with Jesus Christ. I'm not moving from my servanthood and my commitment to serve the Lord Jesus. I'm not moving from the house of God that He has established. Not going to move, Satan. Not going to move, demons of hell. Not going to move, hatred and murder. I'm going where the river is, the Christ is. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and I'm going to have a river in there. A river of worship, a river of prayer, a river of the Word. Don't ever take the house of God for granted. Don't ever get so familiar that you lose your hunger and you got to have something new. No, we want the old. We want God. I don't need something new. I don't need my ears tinkled. What I need is go back like Gideon and say, where's the God that delivers? You see, there's a river. The presence of God, the healing of God, the anointing of God, the joy of God. It's going to make us glad. Now you've got to look at this context, because in the context he's talking about there's fear there, mountains being away, waters coming. But he said, in the midst of it, I go where the river is. What's it going to take to get folks back to the house of God? Do I have to have one more thing? Don't I realize I need that river? That this isn't something that the pastor came up with or a rock church. This is upon this rock I'll build my church. What's it going to take for people to give up, as Pastor Deb would say, maybe give up some things that are taking us over? What's it going to take? Well, this thing was the earth almost being destroyed, because when mountains are being cast in the midst of the sea, ain't much left of the earth. I mean, the earth is about ready to go. The river, the streams make glad the holy place of the tabernacle. This is a holy place. A person can come to this altar and go from hell to heaven. That's a holy place. A person can come and be set free from fear and emotional things and sin. That's a holy place. Why God uses vessels of clay and ordinary people, I have no idea, but never criticize the holy place of God, the church. Never be critical. Be an encourager. You can't be both at the same time. Who am I talking to? God is in the midst of her. See, the question is not, are you with God? Is God with you? God, we know, he does not side with every believer if their words are wrong. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm just talking about God will not be with me if I speak unbelief, I criticize, I judge others. I have a spiritual mask on. I really don't like certain people. I talk about people at work. I talk about people at home. Listen, you might think God's with you, but you're going to wake up one day like Samson and the Lord has departed. The anointing has departed. Haven't dealt with rebellion, haven't dealt with my independence, haven't dealt with all this stuff, and we think, well, God's with me. Well, no. Back it up here, folks. And that's why our nation is in trouble, because we think, because we haven't God and trust on the dollar bill. But listen, God doesn't have to be with anything he doesn't want to, and he only will clarify by what his word says. Six things, yea, seven things the Lord does hate. Lying tongue. False witness, he that sows discord among the brethren, he that sheds innocent blood. Okay, America, you better wake up. You better wake up. If you think that the God that treadeth out the winepress of the wrath of God is just going to not even look, he'll just leave us to the Midianites. That's why the church is so important. Because there's a river, the streams, going to make glad the city of God. A holy place of the tabernacles. God's in the midst of her. She'll not be moved. Turn to somebody and say, I'm not going to be moved. God's going to help her. How many would say today, I need God's help? How many acknowledge you've got some things in your life you need the help of God? How many would say we've been through the last couple of months, we realize how much we need God? Not just the house of God, but we need God. How many can see that our nation needs God? Why are we dealing with the type of things we're dealing with the last week at this venture in the road? Why isn't there had been a cleansing of hatred, cleansing of the spirit of murder in our nation? Because people don't esteem the word of God like they used to. They don't esteem the house of God. But I want to tell you, God's going to have a people like Gideon. I want you to notice it was midnight when he was doing this. He was threshing wheat at midnight to hide it from the Midianites. You might feel like you're all alone, but God's watching. And God's looking for some Gideons in this hour. And God's looking for a Gideon church. Amen. God's looking for a church that's beyond the normal, regular stuff. I went to church, shook the preacher's hand. Well, you can't shake it now. God's looking for a church. When it's time to pray, you're at the prayer meeting. When it's time to give, you're giving. When it's time to encourage, you're encouraging. Amen. When it's time to do your ministry, you're doing your ministry with love. When it's time to serve, you're serving. You see, God's looking for Gideons. He's not looking for Marthas to bang pans around and criticize Mary. Are you a Gideon today? God's a very present help in this time. My last scripture. Well, let me just go. God is, let me give you five things. He's a refuge and strength, very present help in time of trouble. We will not fear. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make the glad the city of God. God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her that right early. Last scripture. And I want to address this to the young man that died so wrong, beyond anything I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I pray all those that were part are held accountable also. It was wrong. It was evil. It was demonic. But I want to say something about that. God put this in the Bible, I think, 13 times. He says, vengeance is mine. We are not good at being revengeful. That does not mean people should not be persecuted to the full extent of the law. They should be. But we're not good with vengeance because we become hateful. And we can end up doing things are worse than should have been done. In this scripture here, I want to leave this with you concerning this situation here. Genesis 18:25. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Oh yeah, he will. Nobody gets away with anything. Nobody. He's the judge of the whole earth. He saw it. He sees it. He put laws in place. Romans 13 says that. Beareth not the sword in vain. There are laws. But how about you and I? It's disgusting. And as horrendous as I felt when I saw the video, I determined that I was not going to be my own vengeance judge and start hating the police or hating a certain. I'm disgusted, and I believe that the law is going to be just. I believe they're going to be held accountable in jail for many years if I ever get out. Our job is to realize this. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? It might seem like people are getting away with something. And even if they did in this life, when they stand before the judge, he don't mince words. He doesn't prefer any race or any nation. He has the same standard for every man and woman. I want you to be at peace. Because people are upset that maybe justice hasn't been done. It's going to be done. So enough God-fearing people that love judgment, love righteousness. But we're not to take vengeance in our hands, no matter what the task is. We are to pray for our nation. Pray for all the people whose lives are affected forever. We need to pray that all the years that when Martin Luther preached on faith and preached on reconciliation, that all those years are not just torn down now because of one act. That we don't have to start over like it was. We need to pray the church rises up. The Gideons rise up. Say, listen, don't be vengeful. You're hurting other people. You're destroying businesses that were started decades ago with little money, and now they're destroyed. Don't do that. That's not what God wants. What does God want? God does want justice. But He wants us to rise up and be somewhere different. He doesn't want us. He doesn't want people coming to the house of God and we're divided and we feel like I can't trust you and because you're a different color or whatever. That just hinders the work of God, and the devil wins. We're not in easy times. The Bible tells us there'll be terrible times in the end days. But if you can get the might of Gideon, Lord, didn't you divide the Red Sea? Didn't you drown Pharaoh in the Red Sea? Didn't you raise up Moses? Didn't you bring Joshua and Caleb to the Promised Land? You know, when they crossed the Red Sea, Miriam led a dance of rejoicing. You see, there is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God. It's almost like a paradox. Fear and troubling times, yet a river that brings joy. You should never feel guilty. And I'm going to stop with this. About having the joy of the Lord even when things have grieved you. I'm going to tell this story because it just came to me. About 5 months ago, something happened, I'm not going to tell you, and for a week, I could not get my joy back. Preached over here. Early praying, I couldn't shake it. Is that true? I could not shake this thing. Because it had gone so deep. It had wounded me so. I thought I was just, why is this? I'm just got me. I couldn't get it out. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my wife. Still preach. Still, how you doing? Love you. But at the end of the day, I can't get rid of this joy, of this grief, this thing that hurt my spirit, my heart. And I came over here one morning really early, and I prayed, tried to worship. And I said, I'm just going to lay on the couch and take a nap. I just didn't even feel like reading the word. I thought Pastor Deb had come in because all of a sudden I felt a hand on my thigh. I don't make stuff up. I don't do that. I thought she had come in and was waking me up. I felt a hand on my thigh, and as soon as it touched me, I woke up, and these are the words that came to me. I've restored your joy. I'm like, wow. And I woke up, and I felt like 1,000 pounds had lifted off. True story. You know me, I don't make up these, trying to be super spiritual. I felt a hand on my thigh, and I thought Deb had come in and woke me up. And I woke up, I restored your joy. Well, that's the first time that's ever happened in my life. God knows what you need. There's a river. The river came. Well, who do you think that was? Was my Savior. My Savior came to my office. You see, we've been walking together. And I had a dream of him when I was 12. This is what I'm talking about, a relationship. That he loved me enough. He said, that's enough, Bill. That's enough grief. And you know why he did that, Pastor Deb? Why I felt that hand? Because he just didn't want me to wake up and just think the thought, well, you rejoice. He wanted me to feel this. How about you? What has blocked that river of joy? You know, there's some animals that build, beavers, they build dams that stops the water. Words, things, stops that joy. I'm here to tell you, God's raising you up as a Gideon. God's raising you up to be part of this work, to touch many, just many. Many in Petersburg hurting. Many saying, where is God? Could God find a Gideon? Can God find a congregation and a people that don't take up vengeance? Can God find a people that their love is pure and true? It's real love. Can God find a place where the river of his anointing can flow once again? I believe this is the place. You're brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. God brought you here. Be a family. To be a friend to somebody. So we can finish his work and go home. This is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven, the Bible says. Sometimes we forget. The darkest hour is just before dawn. The night is far spent. The day of his coming is at hand. Can we be a Gideon church? God used Gideon. 300 men killed 15,000, 20,000. All they did was surround them and had a trumpet and a lantern. They broke it, blew the trumpet. They all got confused. You see, God can take care of every situation. Very present help in trouble, in time of trouble. May God have mercy upon our nation. May God have mercy upon Petersburg, and may God have mercy upon each one of us. Amen. Can we stand this morning? Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Praise God. We receive something. Don't forget, Wednesday night, we start streaming at 7:50.